We have another live show for you guys. We're coming back to New York City because I'm back in town. We put something together for May 15th. We're back at Sesh Comedy. Show starts at 7:30. Doors open at 7 p.m.
I'm so excited. We loved Sesh when we were there the last time. I'm pumped to be able to do another show back in New York so soon. So Wednesday, May 15th.
For tickets, head to our website at findingmrheight.com/live. That's findingmrheight.com/live. You can get your tickets right there.
That ticket link will be up as you are hearing this announcement.
And the venue is BYOB. So if you want a drink, bring a drink. If you like a Diet Coke, bring a Diet Coke. And we're going to hang out afterwards. We can say hello to everybody. Hope to see you all there.
See you there.
It's like, okay, do it now. Go approach, talk to someone now. Because if there is a rejection and you're like, I want to get the fuck out of here.
You're out.
You were gonna get out of there anyway. So perfect timing. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Finding Mr. Height, the podcast. I am your co-host, Erica Spira.
And I'm Allie Jackson. Hello.
Hello, everyone. We have a fun topic today. We're going to be talking about meeting people in real life, some tips, some tricks that we have learned, and also surveyed from the listeners. So thank you, everyone who submitted. I think we got some great suggestions in here to share.
Yeah, and some recent experiences to pepper in as well.
Yes, but before we get to that, we have updates as always. My first question for you, Allie, is you talked about starting a second manifestation experiment. What were the results?
Yes. So the second experiment in the book is required you to be outside, which the reason I start off with that is because I work from home and there are some days when I just don't go outside. So I had to wait until I was going to be outside. And what you're supposed to do in this experiment is pick a color of car. The book suggests sunset beige, which I had to look up, but it's basically like a beige color. But pick a color of car and see how many of that color you see in the day. And then the second day, see how many butterflies you see. Not necessarily like live butterflies, but like pictures of them, whatever. I, however, promptly forgot to do both of these things when I was outside. I would only remember it when I was inside.
So is the point supposed to just be because you're looking for these things, they will appear?
Yes. So the idea being that like the first experiment is more general, like ask the universe for a gift, right? You know, that gift gets taken away, but ask the universe for a gift and it can be like super broad, super vague, whatever. And you're like seeing everything as a gift. The second experiment, you're getting more specific and saying, no, I want to see beige cars.
You know, it's funny. I feel like the second experiment is easier.
Agreed. Because it definitely already exists. Like those cars exist. You're just going to notice them.
Right. Or I feel like I've seen this. I think Tony Robbins actually was a clip I saw recently.
Yeah.
That he did this with somebody where he said, look around the room for everything that's green. And then he said, how many things were red? And the person was like, I have no idea. And he said, yeah, because you weren't looking for it. So yeah. It's like a mental experiment.
Yeah. And I think so I didn't really complete it because I kept forgetting. But I think that kind of goes back to the point about how part of this series of experiments is like training your brain to be looking for things and not forget.
Yeah, totally. I mean, the number one thing I can't believe I forgot to say with all the manifesting stuff is the basic example we all have where you say someone's name or they come up or you think of them and then you either run into them or hear from them very quickly. And it always feels so surreal. You're like, whoa, I just mentioned your name to someone. And especially if it's not like a person you see all the time.
Yeah.
That happened to me.
I'm sure.
So much. It just happened to me recently that I saw something and like screenshotted it and sent it to my friend from a mutual friend that like not super close. Mm-hmm. 2 days later, I got a text from that girl asking me about something. And I just was like, wow, that's bizarre. But I guess we could call it manifesting. And I never thought of it that way, I guess, every time it happened to me.
Yeah. So I'm going to try to be better about remembering that one. But I did also move on to experiment three. I haven't finished it yet, but I did the first part, which basically experiment three is designed to kind of teach you that you are energy and that you can direct your own energy. And so the first part of it has you like intertwine your hands in this really specific way and like concentrate on the area in between your wrists, and like you'll kind of feel a sensation when mm-hmm. you do that. And it happens. And it's intended to show you like, yes, you are made of energy. You are like matter is energy, et cetera. So that was cool. And the second part involves wire hangers, which I don't have and need to acquire in order to complete.
Okay. I feel like, could you take that experiment and somewhat try to apply it to like what we're talking about today, like meeting people and putting your energy out there to like,
yeah,
be approachable and want to talk to others, I guess?
Totally. Well, I think that I've been seeing that in my going out challenge, in my challenge of doing stuff in person, because I have noticed that I get invited to way more stuff mm-hmm. since I started doing that. And it's not like I was like getting invited to things and saying no before I started this challenge. I've truly noticed that I think it's that I notice things that are happening and look into them, and I've been invited to more things and I'm saying yes to those things, and then I meet people at the thing that invite me to the next thing. And I think it's all been like an effort in manifestation.
I'd say so. It happened right when you made your goal. All of a sudden you were like, oh, someone invited me to something. I was like, well,
literally,
there it is.
Yeah. It's crazy.
There it is. We're now manifesting queens over here.
Basically.
Though
I'm an expert. So
yeah. Though I have like a little bit of a sad update on my manifest experiment.
Yeah.
That also, I'll explain. I found a little funny. So I helped out our family dog, mm-hmm. and family dog, I mean my cousin's dog. Right. And then I, you know, ended up getting a Venmo from my uncle, which is very nice. Now I had to go help this dog. It's very old, almost 18 years old. And there's kind of been a running joke in my family whenever we help out with the dog. We're a little like, okay, but I really hope this dog does not pass when like I am watching it.
Yeah.
Because
truly.
One, obviously feel terrible, but two, it's like my uncle's baby, mm-hmm. like the most worried about him. If anything happens to this dog. So I walk that dog, watch that dog. 4-5 days later, you know, they take the dog to the vet. It's not doing well. They unfortunately find out that it is time for the dog and they have to put him down.
Oh, so sad.
Which is so sad. And rest in peace, Tuxedo. Wonderful, wonderful, sweet dog. So chill.
R.I.P. Tuxedo.
Like if I could come back in another life, I would come back as that dog. Let me tell you.
I mean, he was getting pushed around in a stroller.
Yeah, that dog was living the life, okay? Very sweet. Getting homemade food. Like, this dog, truly, I've never seen a dog like it, right? So that happens. My mom calls me. She's like, our cousins couldn't make it to a family shower. She's like, they're going to go meet my uncle. They think they might have to put the dog down. They're not sure. Obviously, they're all very upset, and it's going to be a long day, if that's the case. And so my mom says that to me, and then immediately I was like, well, now I feel like I should send this money back for walking the dog. Like, now I feel guilty that I got paid to walk this dog when, if anything, I could look at it like, oh, maybe the gift was I got to see the dog one last time, like, and spend a little time with it before, unfortunately, we lost him. But
both our gifts got taken away.
I know. And I'm like, I'm so sorry if this is offending dog people, but I did find it a little funny that I was like, I got my manifest gift. And then it was like, they might have to put Tuxedo down. And then I, you know, call them to say condolences. And then I'm also like, can I just send you this money back? I like feel really bad that I have it. I feel like my gift also should be taken away. You know, like it feels unjust that I got paid to walk this sweet little dog that unfortunately we don't have anymore. You know,
it is a little funny. And I say that as a dog person.
Okay. I found it a little
18.
Funny.
He
where
lived
I was like,
lived a great life.
Yeah, or I'm on here being like, I got paid to watch the dog. I didn't expect some money. And then now I'm like, I think I need to send the money back. That feels bad. That feels bad. So it's like, Tuxedo just helped me get my little steps in that day, you know? Count my steps.
Love it. But
rest in peace. Sweet, very sweet dog.
R.I.P. Tuxedo.
I know. Unfortunate.
Also, before you left New York, you went on a date.
I did. Well, I forgot to give this update. It was like the week before the week I was leaving.
Yeah.
Kind of a last minute date. Was on Bumble down the shore and decided to go meet this guy for a drink. So, you know, you're communicating back and forth. He's like, I'm leaving the gym. Got to let my dog out. And then like, I'll go out and meet you. I'm like, great. picks a place. Cool. I get there. And before this day, too, I was like, oh, I'm going to like shower, do my hair. I'm going to throw on a dress. I don't know. I was like, I'm going to look cute. I'm like in the mood. And I actually, in my head, did some manifesting that I was like, I'm going to have a nice date, a nice, fun date. Right. I'm like saying the positive things.
Love it.
Right. I get there. I walk in. Pretty like empty bar. So immediately I'm like, oh, that must be this guy. So he's sitting, he has wings, and already? I walk in and I'm like, yeah, already. And I just say, hey. And he goes, wing night. So he doesn't stand up. He doesn't like really greet me. And I was a little like, I guess your hands are full of wings. So, okay. I kind of understand. Like, you're not going to like obviously reach out to shake my hand or something or give me a hug. But I found it a little odd that it was like a kind of over the shoulder, like, oh, hey, you're here.
That is really weird. I would find that weird from somebody that I did know, let alone someone I don't.
Yeah. Unfortunately, that's, I would say actually not the worst part of date. So I sit, you know, next to him and we're like shoulder to shoulder. There's a ton of TVs in the bar, as most bars have.
Sure.
This person is like clearly watching stuff that out the gate, I'm like, I feel like you don't want to even speak to me. And
like, I feel like you're just having a wing night by yourself.
Yes. I'm just here. And like barely even looking over at me when talking.
Weird.
That I was like, what is happening? And I thought of that stat about when men spend time with men, they are 80% of the time shoulder to shoulder.
Yeah.
And that's partly why they're consuming something or whatever. So they're not usually talking to each other about each other and catching up in that way. It's always like they're talking about the thing on TV.
Yeah.
But I'm just sitting there like, I like for a second I was like, should I leave? Like I had a moment where I was like, this is the weirdest vibe I've walked into for a date.
It would have been, what do you have even noticed?
Part of me was debating that. It's like, I could have been like, I got to go to the bathroom and just leave. I don't think he would know probably for 20 minutes.
It feels like he just invited you to the thing he was already going to be doing that he would normally do by himself.
Yeah.
Like, I go to this place for wings to watch sports. Eh, she could come.
I guess. Yeah. And I just felt a little like, oh, I'm sorry. Am I not hot enough or something for you? Like, I can't get your attention? Or honestly, sitting there, I also was like, what are we already married? That we're sitting next to each other, ignoring each other, watching the TV.
Wing night.
Like, yeah, just like, it's wing night where we eat wings and ignore each other instead. You know, like I was like, what the fuck is this? The only like thing he did in the beginning, I guess that was good, but it feels like bare minimum good, was, you know, he was like, what do you want to drink? You know, and I guess he knew the server's name because he's like from around there. So he said, hey, blah, blah, blah. And he was like, I'll put her drink on my tab. Like, what would you want? So I was like, okay, at least that's a generous move, but still very bare minimum. And then, so I'm like trying to talk to him. And it's the thing, like I'm turned towards him, my body. His body is towards whatever screens.
Oh my God.
We're talking a little bit. I get my drink. I suddenly notice he has two phones out on the table. One is like sideways. The other one is laying on top of it so that it's kind of propped up.
Is he sports betting?
No. On the phone is another sports thing playing.
Oh, my God.
That I was like, what the fuck are you watching on your phone? Like, I just... And it was some surfing competition, so I guess that wasn't on the TV, so he had to have that on his phone. And well, so then I just go...
Of course he had to be watching the surfing competition.
Of course, how could you miss it? And so I just said... I literally look at him, and I go, what are you watching? And he goes, it's surfing. It's a surf competition. And then I go, so do you like surfing? Like, I was like, is that it? Is there any more information here? Like, and still didn't turn it off.
Oh my God.
Or like, essentially stop watching it. And then I'm just sitting there like, well, I guess I'll just drink this drink and like, leave? Like,
yeah, how long did you stay?
I think I ended up staying for an hour total because something we were talking about. And then I said something like, well, I'm in the city a lot for work. And then he said, what do you do for work? Because I do not have it on my profile. And men, shockingly, most of the time, don't even fucking ask. So I say, oh, I'm a comedian. Then he fucking turns and looks at me and he says, what? Did you say you're a comedian? I said, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm a stand-up comedian. And then he like perks up and he's like, do you know this comedian and this podcast? I'm like, I know them. I don't know them well. And I'm like, I don't listen to the podcast. But then all through the date, he would reference things and go, you know, on the podcast. And I'm like, I don't listen to it. I don't like, I know who that comedian is, but like, I don't just sit around listening to other comedians' podcasts. Like, it's not
like every single comedian's podcast that exists. You're supposed to know about.
Yeah, it was like a little bizarre that he would give me this look like, no, or he would reference the pod and I'd say, what thing? And he's like, the podcast. I'm like, I don't know what this is.
Oh my God. This guy sounds like a treat.
Yeah, that's just a date that you're like, listen, I could come in with as much positive energy as I fucking want. I don't think there was anything to steer that date and change it.
No, certainly not.
Like, when I told my sister, she was like, nah, you should have just left. I'm surprised
you stayed as long as you did.
I think I just was in shock that I was just like, is this happening?
Yeah, I probably would have been too.
Especially once when I pointed out the thing on the phone.
That is not on another level.
Yeah. Very, very bizarre. I was just like, well, rest in peace for that.
Yeah, so... was there any follow-up? Because we do have some brainstorming to do with some new options for the mutual opt-out or the moo, as we formerly were calling it.
Yeah, the only follow-up was he texted me that night, then being like, what's your Instagram?
For the comedy.
Because he wanted to look up comedy stuff. And which is so funny because I'm like, men are so lazy. You could find me so easily with just my first name. You really fucking could, but I don't make it easy for them. So I was just like, oh, did you not get enough information on the date? But in my head, I'm like, because you didn't really fucking talk to me. Like,
you don't know anything about me.
Yeah. Do you need more info? And he showed me his Instagram at one point about something. And it was just like pictures of like different houses and like his dog. So I just replied and was like, I mean, it's just pictures of houses and dogs. So you're not really going to get any more info on me. And it went just completely over his head and whatever. He was like, no, I want to look up your stuff. And I just was like, yeah, no, I don't give it out. Which, funny, it wasn't because of this man. It's something I've been thinking about for a long time. I did make a personal Instagram that is private for like just my very close friends and honestly potential dates. That are people like, what's your Instagram? I'm like, that's the one I'm gonna give you.
I was excited about it.
I'm excited about it. I've already used it. I used it last night when I was at and it was a friend's show. There was a comedian, but I met some people that weren't in the comedy world.
Yeah.
And then it was like, oh, what's your Instagram? Blah, blah, blah. And I was like, well, here, I'll give you my personal one. And they were like, oh, personal one, you have a different one. And I was like, the other one is all comedy. It's all podcast clips. It's like, I was like, it's, if you just want, like, I'm a regular person over here. It's just like, hey, I went to my friend's wedding. Here's some pictures. Go over there, you know? So I'm excited. It was something I was meaning to do for a long time. And I partly was just like, who has the time? And then I was like, ah, screw it. I put it together.
I love it. And I forgot that I had a personal Instagram.
Yeah. You followed me from Find Mr. Height. I was like, get out of here.
Well, you requested.
No, I didn't.
You tagged me. You tagged me in one of your pictures. In the jumping picture. You tagged Finding Mr. Height. That's why.
My bad. Well, I didn't request to follow you. I was like, get out of here. I don't want people finding this.
I'm not a private Instagram account, so you wouldn't be requesting me. But I was, that's why, because you tagged me in the jumping photo and Finding Mr. Height. So then I commented on it and forgot that I have a personal Instagram.
Yeah. And then I got flagged for a comment immediately. I was like, well, I just made this Instagram and I got flagged.
You were bullying me right out of the gate.
Oh yeah. Such a bully. I'm such a bully. Yeah, no, sorry. Because I was like, untraceable. I don't want anyone searching through Finding Mr. Height to find me. I'm like, nope. I removed you as a follower and I unfollowed you.
Oh, funny.
Because I was like, oh, people could find me through here. I was like, nope, that's not the point of this Instagram.
Well, then I'm very rarely going to see it because I never go on my personal Instagram.
Well, too bad, Allie. Sorry. Just me and my private life over here.
Tag me. Tag my personal one in the jumping photo then because I like it.
Okay, I will. But it's like, it's literally an Instagram for me to just look hot. And send men.
I love it.
That's really the gist. And to be honest with you, it's been very nice to also be in that feed more, where I just see people that I know, and it's like, they do not mean this as a dig. This conversation, I realize, is absurd and niche, but it's like so nice to just be like, that picture of someone's baby, a picture of this thing, and not be the constant comedy clips that I see all the time. And also, it's like a lot of accomplishments I see all the time. Mm. And that can like get me in my head where it's like, you're not doing enough. You need to be doing more. So I'm like, this is a really nice change of pace here. That it's
every time I go over there, I just forget about it. But every time I go over there, I really do enjoy it for that reason. Because the other thing that I used to on my personal account when I like didn't have this one, I used to follow like meme accounts, fun things I thought were funny, political accounts, you know, whatever. You follow other things besides your friends. Mm-hmm. I removed all of those from my personal Instagram following so that I literally only follow like real humans that I know, because I follow all those other things on Finding Mr. Height.
Right.
So now it's like truly just people I know, and like not even any memes or anything like that. And that's really nice. It's really nice just to be like, hey, here are all my friends.
Yeah, it's nice. I've been following a bunch of like travel accounts. And then I'm just like, this is such a nice little thing. I'm just saving little like places to go, travel things, and literally like exercises to help if you have a sore back. That's also in my algorithm.
There you go.
That I need to be doing. And I'm just like, wow, look at me just on my normal little Instagram. It's very refreshing. Anyway.
Well, now I need to make a point to go over there more often, because I was just thinking, I was like, I didn't see you post, but it's because you removed me.
You should. It's nice.
Anyway, we'll go over there soon.
Do we have anything else for updates? Or sorry, were we going to do the mutual opt-out suggestions that we received?
I have one more update, but we can discuss updates for the move first.
Okay. So we got a handful of suggestions, some from the Discord, some from the comments on the Patreon, et cetera, et cetera. Please send us if you have any more suggestions to replace DM this mutual opt-out.
Comment, anything.
Okay. So my favorite that somebody's thrown out there is unsubscribe. I think that's my number one.
That is also my number one currently. So framing it up of how I've been like thinking about this, we were talking about before we hit record, it needs to be something that doesn't have that negative of a connotation. So like people have suggested things that like are similarly negative to ghosting. So like another one that I did really like was Irish goodbye. There's like a negative connotation to that. Like they were supposed to say goodbye and didn't.
No, I think it's more the Irish goodbye is like you leave the party and there's no official goodbye. It makes sense in that.
Yeah, but I think there's this implication with a party that you're supposed to say goodbye. And that's why there's like a phrase for it. So I don't know. My whole thing is that I was thinking of is more like I think the eventual thing we pick, and I really like unsubscribe, has to be like pretty neutral. Because it's like no one did anything wrong. No hard feelings. I just don't want to get those emails anymore.
Yes. There was another suggestion I think is very similar to this that I did not know because it's an animal thing. Playing possum?
Which apparently is like playing dead?
Is pretending you're dead in hopes of being left alone / will not be bothered. So does that go in the category where it's like, I'm not bothering you, you're not bothering me, we just both walk by, you know? Or it's almost like the example, if you're ever in public and you out of the corner of your eye see someone you vaguely know that's an acquaintance, and you almost mutually decide to both just not have a conversation. Yeah, like we're just going to pretend we don't see each other. I feel like that's what playing possum is in a weird way.
Yeah, I think you're right. But I don't think enough people know what it means for it to be our pick. I do like it as a concept, though.
I think it's fun. Like, that makes it cute. Little animal thing.
Yeah. The other one that I liked that somebody commented on the Patreon was a fork in the road, or like to make it a verb, like forked. I do like the idea of it being a verb. It's one of the reasons I like unsubscribe.
Or can make it to a verb.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ghosted, ghosting, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I know, but forked sounds sexual.
It
but fork in the road feels very literal. It's like, and you went right, I went left. So it's like that.
Yeah.
That does make sense. Shout out to that one. But anyway, appreciate the little chatter that's been going on.
Very much so. Unsubscribe, I think, is the front runner. But if we're still, you know, we're always open for more suggestions. So keep them coming.
Yeah. Feel free.
Yeah.
Anyway, you had a little in real life, because to get this going on the topic, you had a little in real life success recently.
In the theme. of today's topic. I did meet a guy in real life this week.
How about that?
How doing about what? That? Playing volleyball, doing an activity that you like to do. But also, normally the volleyball tournaments that I play in are entirely people that I know. Like mm-hmm. the volleyball community is like, it's big, but it's everybody knows each other. This tournament was more recreational. It was like a little bit lower level, more of like a not beginner, but more just for funsies kind of thing versus the ones I play in are like pretty competitive. Mm-hmm. And I only knew one person, the person who invited me to play. I didn't know anybody else going. Turns out I knew one other person, but like wasn't, never had been to any of these tournaments. It was going to be entirely people I did not know, but doing an activity that I like. So like the people that are there also liking that activity, probably my kind of people, which is a suggestion for later in the episode. So I struck up a flirt game with what turned out to be a very young man. I went into detail about all of this on the Patreon. So he's not like a long-term prospect per se, because he's quite young, but I had a good time and I really enjoyed like leaning into my flirt game. And like, it had been a while. In fact, I can't remember the last time that I truly met someone in person and immediately was like bantering with them and having to like come up with that like flirty banter on the spot and also kind of have that in my mind of like, ooh, are we flirting? Like, I don't know, like this is fun. Yeah. So it was fun. And I am like excited to translate that kind of flirty energy into, I actually have a date scheduled this week off of dating apps, not with this man. And so I'm excited to like translate that flirty energy and like carry it with me into the week, my date, everything.
Well, I'm curious because I feel like a lot of your volleyball friends I've met, I've mm-hmm. also met their partners who they seem to have met through volleyball as well.
Yes.
Does this make you want to go to more of those like open gym type volleyballs? Where, because I played too as well back in the day. And I remember when I moved to New York, I found it was like I could just show up on a Sunday. People just pick teams and you just play.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a balance for me. It has made me want to do that potentially with a different sport. So like I was thinking about, I used to play on a softball team in Central Park and I haven't played in a few years. And there are leagues in Brooklyn. And like when it, obviously not right now, but like in the spring, it'll start up again. And I am going to look into like being a free agent in one of those leagues or seeing if they have drop-in tournaments. The reason not volleyball in specific is because I don't always enjoy lower level volleyball.
Yeah, but it's to meet men. It's not to, you know, be competitive.
Right. But I want to be enjoying myself. And I can do that with other sports. Like I can do that and meet like similarly minded people that aren't just specifically volleyball. So I could do softball or like, I don't really play soccer. It's mostly softball. Or like flag football. I used to play flag football and really liked it.
Well, that's one they really need women for, the co-ed.
Yeah.
Where it's like the ratio will be more in your favor. Yeah, because there's like
flag football.
There's kickball. There's some dodgeball, which is also a like, look, I don't mean disrespect if we got any serious dodgeballers out there, but you know, think like gym class sports. You know what I mean? Where it's like everybody yes. can do this, everybody can play yes. this.
Exactly.
Not that hard. I like the idea though of a pickup style because when I've done sports leagues, regardless of the sport, the most annoying thing is often like people can't make it whatever week. Mm-hmm. And our team, yep. I feel like, would only have like 6 people available for like pickup basketball, softball, whatever it was. And then I also found you were less mingling because it's like, well, now I'm still just with the people I know that I got put on a team with.
Yeah, I need to. I know I have some friends who play softball in some of the Brooklyn leagues, and I want to find one where like it's like a Sunday and like everybody goes to like the beer place after or something where it's more mingly.
Yeah.
Or like a drop-in tournament or pickup thing. I did try this with volleyball already in my past. That's why I know it's not for me because I just get too frustrated about the level, just knowing myself. But I want to try it with other sports.
Yeah. I mean, there's plenty of things to pick from.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So gave me a little pep in my step to get my flirt on. So I've been talking a bunch about how I'm trying to order in less. And part of that is that I'm cooking at home more. But when I don't have time to cook, which is more often than not, I have really still been loving Factor's meals that are ready to eat in just 2 minutes.
Yeah, and they have so many options too. Every week, their menu, they have 35 options that you can pick from. So you can find whatever it is that you're looking for. It's so easy. It's no fuss and no mess.
It's so great. And I've also been really enjoying their add-ons that they have. So they have breakfast. They have on-the-go lunches if you don't work from home. I've been ordering their snacks recently to have like a little pick-me-up in the afternoon. And I've really been enjoying that.
Yeah. And they also are celebrating Earth Day all month. You can look for their Earth Month Eats badge on their menu. And that will be meals that have the lowest carbon footprint. So shout out to Factor for that one.
That's pretty cool. So you can head to factormeals.com/FMH50 and use code FMH50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box.
That's code FMH50 at factormeals.com/FMH50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
I don't know about you, Erica, but I have always been a PMS girly. Like that week before I get my period, even though I don't actually get a period anymore because of my IUD, the week when I would get it, I have always had just hormones all over the place, cravings, it's cramps, just all sorts of stuff. And it's been so much easier to manage my PMS with Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth.
So one thing I really like about this company is so many health studies they don't reveal has only been done on men. So I love a company that is actually making products not only designed for women, but is also testing them with women. Makes a huge, huge difference. Taking the Hormone Harmony isn't just for like menopause. I feel like we hear hormones and people think like, oh, that's not for me. But it can work for all of us at any age. Whether you do still have those night sweats, right? You don't have to have menopause to be hot at night, all right? That's your girl all the time. Racing thoughts and low moods, maybe poor sleep and feeling tired all the time, or the occasional bloating or gas. Hormone Harmony can help you with all of these things.
Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. And the beauty of those is they help the body adapt to any stressors, like those chaotic hormonal change that we're talking about, or any of those issues that you mentioned. The biggest benefit is just feeling like myself all the time and not having these like ups and downs.
If you're interested in getting something like this into your routine, you should definitely check them out. And we have a limited time deal for you. You can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com and just use the code FMH at checkout. Well, on that note, we will switch over to our topic talk here of how to meet people in real life, tips for approaching, being more approachable, and some questions here from the listeners. What do you feel like is the most common question we got?
How to do it. The most common question was just how. Like, not just even where to go, but like how to be when you're there.
Well, I think like there are two different things: how to approach, and then there's how you should be acting in hopes someone approaches you and you're more open to it. So which one do we want to tackle first?
Let's start with the easier one, which is like how to be, in order to make it more likely that you're going to get approached, because that's easier to do than to do the approaching.
Okay. All right. So I looked up some stuff here. I found some great resources. There's this website called The Science of People, and it's all based on different studies and things that they've done. So there was an article all about how to be more approachable. So let's do a combo of some of these. And we did get some great suggestions from the listeners here. Mm-hmm. All right. I feel like the hardest thing to do, especially when you're by yourself, because people feel weird or almost feel embarrassed, which we shouldn't. But I think the biggest thing has to do with our phones. And do put your phone away. Put it in your purse, zip the purse, your pocket, whatever it is that it's, you know, safe. But like, do not have it out. It is way too tempting to pick it up and look at it, because there's two things: keeping it away. And the other part is literally having your head up and looking around. Because part of that is you could have a smile if you catch someone's eye. Literally give a little smile. All right. And I know women do not like to be told to smile, but it fucking works. Okay.
In this case, you should. Works. In this case,
it
you should.
It works. In this case, it that, should. Like, even if it's you're talking to the bartender and you're being smiley with the bartender, that's a move, because everyone's trying to get bartender's attention. And if they look over, they're going to see you indirectly.
I talk about this a lot when I do profile reviews, that like, and I literally will say what you just said. I'm like, listen, I don't like to tell women to smile, but you should in your dating app profile, because there is scientific research that shows that we find, not just men, people find smiling faces more attractive. wouldn't you, if you had to choose, if you saw two photos and one person was smiling and the other person wasn't, and you were like, who do you want to hang out with? You would pick the person who's having fun.
Oh, 100%. And I've given that advice to men too, because men have a weird thing a lot of times with smiling and pictures. They all have this like tough face. And I'm, and especially I know men that I'm like, you are the smiliest person I know. I don't know how the fuck your profile is not one smile of yours. You know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So anyway, this is one of the reasons why I like, because it can feel awkward to not be on your phone. So for example, last night I took myself out to dinner. It was a very impromptu. I actually meant to cook dinner and ended up cooking, but I'd gone grocery shopping. I was walking home from the grocery store, saw a sandwich board outside a local bar I've been meaning to try that said happy hour. And I looked inside and there were a bunch of people at the bar.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, oh, all right. Neighborhood bar that I've been meaning to try, happy hour, people. Great. It does feel really awkward to not be on your phone. And I did have my Kindle with me, so I was reading a little bit, which I think is like a little bit of a different vibe than your
phone. That's actually approachable. I will say that's
approachable. I have had people come up to me about a book.
Yes. That's a move I read once. Have a book, be reading a book, because it's an easy, oh, what are you reading?
Exactly. So, but so if you don't have that, another thing, that's one of the reasons I like going to a place that has TVs. Like if you're a sports person, if you're not, this probably isn't going to work for you, but because then you can be watching something and like be able to turn to the people around to comment on what's going on the TV or like something happened, or it's like an easy conversation starter.
Very easy. But the biggest thing with the phone is like, have you ever, like, look at people when they're on their phone. We have both elbows on the table. You're using both hands to cover it. Your whole body language is not open to people talking to you. And also people will feel like they're interrupting.
Yes.
So number one, put the phone away. It's going to feel weird. Okay. It's going to feel weird. But maybe think of it like this, especially if you're sitting at a bar. The bartender cannot have their phone out, or usually doesn't. So they're also usually standing there like, think of it as like, oh, I'll like be company for the bartender.
Yeah, totally.
Like, see it as that, you know, even though it's, you know, it's their job. But it's like, you know, I think they appreciate it if they're standing at the bar and it's like, wow, everyone's on their phone. Like, they also can't really have somebody to talk to. So be that person. All right. Keep the bartender company. Okay. Another one. Let's get into a little bit about, we've talked about this before, of what you're wearing and other little body language that sometimes comes from what you're wearing. So we've touched on color theory before. And then it's interesting. Mash Margarita says wear green, but she does also say blue is a top color. And this survey I found in study put blue higher than green, technically. Hmm. But it essentially was mostly brighter neutral colors like white, even a gray, and blues are typically more approachable than red, yellow, and orange. Because red, orange often gives like a warning sign type of vibe to people. Like think, you know, sirens, exit signs, like it's usually a big warning. And yellow, you know, caution. I feel like maybe it's because it's more street sign, ambulance, all those other things we naturally associate our brain with. And blue, they've done studies, is like a very calming color that people feel calm and comfortable around the color blue. So we could start with color. That's a basic color. Second thing, no turtlenecks. That's a big one. Like, why? If you are just more approachable if you are not covered up to the neck, and even with your clavicle a little bit, if you're a woman. Like, wearing a V-neck that just shows that bone up there makes you more approachable. And it's something with the body language of a turtleneck where it's like you're closed off. You're closed off, you're
like
going
to
come off.
Similar to having your arms crossed kind of thing.
Exactly. It comes off a little more uptight to be up front. That it's like it's not as friendly and approachable.
I really like to wear bright colors when I do speed dating or singles mixers, and especially speed dating. So we'll get into like some of my specific or our specific tips for like those types of events in a bit. But going off of this, because it makes you not only eye-catching, but easy to remember. If you're like the one that was wearing like a cool pattern or like a fun color.
Yes, but this is what I found interesting in this article. It said wear a conversation starter. So yes, eye-catching, but I also feel like that means like one specific catch-of-the-eye item or thing. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it's like, let's say you have a mostly black neutral wardrobe. That's me. All right. And then you see, you're out shopping. You see like a, you know, affordable, bright-colored purse or something where you're like, ooh, pop a color. And that's also something you wouldn't mind if someone commented on or complimented, because it has nothing to do with your body and appearance.
Oh, that's true.
So that's a little tip too. It's called it, I think it called it the peacock. And another thing I read was wear a peacock item, aka like something colorful, catching attention. Somebody could comment on it. Could be a cool pair of earrings, you know, something.
Have you ever read or heard of the book, The Game, or like The Art of the Game?
Yes, I have read that. Yeah.
I read it back in college. What?
Peacocking. Yeah, it's from that book.
Yeah, it's from that book. So it's, yeah, it's, I mean, I do not subscribe to all of the pickup artists mentioned in the book.
No.
But peacocking in the book is about like wearing something. In the book, it's very outlandish, like some crazy hat or like something ridiculous. But for this reason, it's a conversation starter. It's a way to like insert yourself into a group. The other thing that I think is important to think about if you're going to be out, if you're trying to position yourself well, is where you're at.
Mm-hmm.
So it, this same website and studies talk about being in high traffic areas, but also you want to be in a place where your body can be open to the room. So like one of the places that I like to be if I can is the corner of a bar, because then you can kind of be like 90 degrees to the room, if that makes sense.
Yeah, especially if you're the corner that faces the door when people walk in. So if they're approaching the bar to figure out where to sit, they most likely will see you. You're naturally open. Yeah, they called it the triangle positioning, open triangle. So like I said, it's like not both elbows on the tables facing one direction, like literally just having your chair a little bit turned. Or think about like if you've ever been at the bar, a more like standing room situation where people are trying to like get to the bar to order a drink. Mm-hmm. And how you naturally might position yourself that like someone could slide in right next to you to try to not, you know, hog up too much space. It's like almost think of that mentality like, oh, where is there a path that somebody could easily like say hello to me and approach me in some way?
Yeah, totally. And I also try to think about, you mentioned this last week, actually, when you were talking to Hayes about picking that concert ticket that had one empty one next to it. I try to think about that when I'm looking for places to sit, where like if I see, for example, three empty seats versus two empty seats, I will sit in one of the two because that means there's only going to be one left. So if there's another individual who comes in, they'll sit there versus if I take one of the three, I might get a couple.
True. Yeah. And we're not assholes. Obviously, if the bar is like super crowded and we need to shimmy over to make room.
No,
we
will. Of course.
But I 100% get what you're saying. I 100% agree. We're not dicks like, no, these, I need two openings on either side. I'm trying the triangle body language method.
I'm trying to meet people. You cannot sit here.
You can only sit there if you round up someone else to come sit between us.
Yes, totally. Be a good patron. But if you have the option, like make it easy, basically put it this way, make it easy for people to approach you, make it easy for somebody to sit next to you, to strike up a conversation, to make it seem like you want to be spoken to.
Okay. So this one we've talked about with approaching people, but it also works the opposite way. The thing I read called it the 30-second favor rule, which is just offering small favors to people to make yourself a little more likable and approachable. So it could be little things. If you see someone like, I've actually done this not even thinking about it with like other women. Like one time I saw this girl like kind of like fumbling through her bag to try to find something. I don't know if it was an ID or whatever. And I was sitting near her and I just put the light on my phone and then hovered it over her so she could see better. And she was like, oh my God, thank you so much. I was like, yeah, no problem. Like something like that. If you see someone, whatever, where you're just like, oh, I could hold that a second for you or whatever it is, just opens the conversation door and, you know, obviously shows you're friendly and approachable, but it's like, it's that psychology thing where you're like, oh, let me help you. They're like, wow, we must be friends.
It's funny that you gave that example because yesterday at the bar, the woman next to me was taking a picture of her food and I was watching her take so many pictures because the lighting was terrible. And I was like, do you want a light? And like turned on my flashlight to like light her food photo. And then we started talking.
Yeah, this is the new, do you want a light that used to be cigarettes? Like, it's now just like, I'll light this photo for you. Like, you ever see the group of girls trying to take a pic and the lighting's bad and you put up your phone light to be like, I got your lighting on this side. Let me help you.
One of my favorite videos that I have on my phone is the one that I took of all of my friends around my friend Val and her bachelorette party because it was so fucking dark in this park. And it's like 9 people with their flashlights on.
Yeah. But it's like, we're all trying to help, you know, a little small favor, help the lighting.
Exactly.
One other one someone actually suggested, which was similar to the book theory, because I've read the book thing. Someone said, bring a crossword, or maybe a type of puzzle, brain teaser, whatever it is. You know, maybe you're doing the Wordle, I don't know. But bring a crossword and ask people near you for like help with whatever ones you get stuck on.
I did this with the cute guy at the tournament.
Wait, really?
Yeah, I asked him to help me with connections.
There you go. Or the connections game. Yeah, people love
it. Yeah. And he'd never heard of it before, which was wild to me. We must be in very different sides of social media. But he'd never heard of it. So then I was like explaining it to him, and then he helped me solve it. And legitimately, I was having a hard time. It wasn't you could make it up, though. You could pretend.
There you go. No, I mean, any like puzzle like that, it gets people's like brains rolling, you know, and it's similar to an approaching move, which is like asking someone for advice or like their opinion on something, which is essentially what you're doing. If you're like, I'm struggling to find, you know, a 5-letter word for cold or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
And then the last one I'll share in terms of being more approachable, which I feel like this one might be a little easier said than done, but it's when you're with other people. It's saying the best party is always what's right in front of you. So it's basically like, be fun. People are drawn to the fun and the energy. So whether it is like you and the bartender joking around and you're not with friends, or you make a new friend at the bar and now you guys are having a little party, like people want in on the party, you know? And it's like, just be present, be laughing with your friends, talking with your friends, being really engaged, I think piques other people's attention, or according to this article, it does.
Yeah. So one of the questions that we got was like, do you go out alone? Do you go out with people? I think you got to max out at 3 in terms of like how many people you're with, because the bigger your group gets, the more intimidating it becomes for somebody to approach.
Yeah. I'm not saying huge group, but like,
yeah.
Yeah. If you're out with 1 friend, 2 friends, and it's like, wow, those girls are a good time. Like, you know what I've even noticed is when I take an Uber by myself versus if I take an Uber with a friend, when I'm with a friend, usually we're suddenly like joking around, talking with the driver. Like it's suddenly like a little party in there. And it's so funny that it's like, oh, it's because you're just with someone familiar. You guys, you know, are chatting as you chat or joking around.
Yeah.
And then the driver wants in on it, you know? They're like, oh, you gals seem fun, like blah, blah, blah. And I just had that with my, I just had it with my roommate the other day. We're like cracking up, and then we're talking about like places in town we'd like to go or suggestions, because I'll say like, yeah, I'm new here, we're looking for more, you know, sports bars, or he's a man, so we're like, where do you go out? You seem like a younger guy, like where do you like to go? But I've really picked up on that when I'm like with friends, like going to a wedding, going to this, and there's like just a little energy in that car. People want in on that, or they're like, oh, finally, we got like a fun group, you know? And the group is two people. It's not even that many people.
I love that. And I think the thing that I like about 3 people too is that you never feel like you're going to have to abandon your friend. Like one of the things that can be tricky if you're only there with one other friend is like that friend has to be cool. Both of you have to be cool. If the idea is to meet people, both of you have to be cool by yourself. If like one of you hits it off with someone, starts talking to someone, like the other one's going to be cool on their own. The nice thing about being a trio is that that doesn't have to happen.
I mean, I think both ways was really nice. And my roommate ended up doing this because I actually got tipped off by a guy on Bumble that LeBron was going to hit his like 40,000 point in the game the next day. And so I was like, oh, we should go to a sports bar because it's probably going to be crowded. There's going to be people wanting to see this game.
Yep.
So my roommate and I go. And during the game, though, everyone's very clued into the game. And it wasn't like tight packed mingling. It was people at tables. But then when the game was over, like people were still hanging out. And my roommate on her way back from the bathroom just stopped by this table that we thought were cute. And she was like, hey, guys. She's like, I'm Kelsey. And they said, oh, hello. And she said, we have extra room at our table. Do you guys want to just come join us? And immediately they were like, yeah. And just got incredible. Up and came over. Like it can be that easy where you're just very simply like, hey, we're a group of 2, 3, whatever. You guys seem fun. You want to come join? And it was kind of shocking that we were just like, wow, that's how easy it is. It's just, hello, want to combine tables? They're like, cool.
So did you guys end up like hanging out with them for a while?
Yeah, we hung out with them like for at least an hour. We had a nice little time. And then we even said like, hey, if this is boys' night, we're not trying to ruin it. And they go, no, this just made boys' night better. Like, because this is a story. It's like 2 women approached our table and we were like, oh, shit, look at us. You know, it's flattering. Everybody's flattered.
So on that note, that's one way to approach is to do something as simple as say like, hey, you want to combine tables? Or if you're just by yourself and maybe they have some extra seats at their table, you can be like, hey, do you mind if I sit here?
Easy. Very easy. Or even if you're a little intimidated to do that, just ask like, what are you guys out tonight for? Are you celebrating anything? And see what the answer is. Just gets the ball rolling. So onto the approaching, or I guess places to approach. We've got a handful of suggestions here from a lot of people.
Can I say my favorite one?
Yeah, go for it.
The airport.
Okay. So what exactly would you do at the airport if this was you?
So like the airport I've met people at airport bars before, but I didn't even think about that until this person submitted the suggestion. Typically, I'm not an arrive early at the airport gal. I'm a go through security and get right into the plane type. Mm-hmm. But the times that I have gotten there early, or if I've had a layover or whatever, people are very chatty when they're headed out somewhere. And a lot of times, people at the bar at the airport live in that city. It's not the city they're visiting always. It could be. But like depends. A lot of times they live in that city and they're just like waiting for their flight. And maybe they don't, whatever, but maybe they come there often. But I don't know. I just feel like there's usually like a convivial vibe at an airport bar that just like makes it easier to talk to people.
Well, like airport, hotel, rental car are all travel-based things. So it's like someone is here because they're traveling. Granted, yeah, we don't know. Do you live here? Do you live somewhere else? But it already just comes with automatic questions that are very, very easy. Or, you know, people are excited. You can tell if they're excited, like they're going on vacation, or, you know, they're traveling for business, right?
Yeah.
Usually. But you could just ask like, oh, where are you traveling to? Oh, do you travel a lot for work? Blah, blah, blah. You got questions built in. Very easy.
Easy. And I think something that's important to remember that I have to remind myself when you're asking these questions, when you're like approaching people, some people are not going to be into talking to you. And that's it's not an indictment on you. Like, it's not like a failure of the approach if somebody like doesn't want to continue a conversation with you. So you might ask somebody, hey, where are you headed? And they might just be like, Seattle. And then like turn back to their drink. I'm like, oh, all right. You don't want to talk. That's fine. But you're practicing. And like, that's a totally fine outcome. It's that it doesn't mean that like it didn't go well.
Yeah. And it's just that's why the opener usually can be very simple.
Right.
You're just reading, oh, are you open to talking? Oh, you're not? Okay.
Fine.
That's fine. So a few people said book club.
I find
interesting. Well, I think it would work to just meet new people in terms of a dating sense. I think not so much.
Yeah, not so much. The only I have not heard of many book clubs. They exist, but I have not heard of many book clubs where you're joining without knowing anyone or like knowing most people. So if you can get an invite to a book club where you don't know anybody else, or I don't know, I think there are book clubs that are organized by like Meetup or, you know, online or whatever, then I could get behind this idea to make friends who could maybe introduce you to people. I wouldn't sign up for a book club thinking you're going to meet a dude.
Right. But you can meet new people, or also it'll help you have you practice like
totally
initiating conversation, or, you know, like the airport, you got a book, you have something to talk about. And, you know, any book club or thing like that I've been to, it's like you talk about the book for, you know, what, 20 minutes usually. And then it's like social hour with everybody, you know, especially if you're doing like longer term, where it's not like read the whole book, come to the meeting. Right.
Yes.
Like if you want to be more social, maybe find one that's the pace that's like, all right, we're going to read 5 chapters and get together. So it's like, all right, we'll talk about 5 chapters and then, you know, we'll be our social little birds or whatever. All right. A big one a lot of people said was sports oriented things, not just sports bars, but like golf. So if you live in New York City, there's like that little driving range near Chelsea Piers is one of them. Mm-hmm. Here's the thing. You don't have to do the driving range to go sit at the bar and eat or have a drink.
Very true.
So there's a tip if you're like, I don't really want to play any golf. Okay. And if you like to play a little golf, like myself, it's like, yeah, pick the minimum package with a friend, you know, do some driving, whatever. Men always love to offer their advice in that sense, which you got to not be annoyed. Okay. If you're going there to meet men and people approach you with advice, just let them give the advice. Okay. Let's put our guard down a little bit. You know,
if that's your goal, you got to let the convo get opened. Because I also think, remember, all these questions that are coming in about like, how do I approach people in real life? I'm nervous. so are they. Like, that's a hard thing to cold walk up to somebody. It doesn't mean you have to accept absolute garbage if someone says to you. But, like, if what they said is innocuous enough, we're opening a conversation. Like, it doesn't need to be the best thing anyone's ever said to you.
No, it doesn't. And the other sport thing a lot of people said was climbing gyms. Rock climbing, if you're into that.
I have been meaning to try that.
You should. There's a bunch in Brooklyn.
Yeah, there are. I haven't done it in a long time.
Funny. Someone sent this suggestion, which I'm like, did you take this from me? I've said this on the pod, which is asking someone to pass you something like a napkin.
Oh, yeah. I've done that. I used to do that all the time, like back in my 20s, to be like, or like, will you hold my coat for me while I like take these drinks over to my friends?
Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Easy. That's the helping thing.
Yeah. The other thing that I like that I've done before that has worked well is when you're either in line for something or shopping for something, to ask somebody's opinion or advice. So like, let's say you're in the grocery store and you're like, you know, have you ever had any of these or whatever? I did that once. There was like I was picking out fancy olives or something. I don't remember. And there was a cute guy, didn't go anywhere, but there was a cute guy also looking at the section. And I was like, have you ever had any of these olives? Like, which ones of these are good? Or if you're in line at a coffee shop or something, being like, oh, what's, you know, what do you get here? What's good?
Yeah. That's a ask for advice move.
Yeah.
Easily. You eaten here before? Have you, you know, been here before? Have you ever had one of these pastries before? You're in line for the coffee. People like to give an opinion. Yeah. You know?
Also ask a move at a bar. Opinion. Same type of thing at a bar.
Very easy. You know what? I have a friend in the city. So we always talk about that men suck at plans, right? But sometimes we could use that to our advantage. So she would do her grocery shopping, not on a Sunday, not on a Saturday. She was like, men will go kind of last minute, late at night, not when it's crowded. Her move, which she would pick certain grocery stores in nicer neighborhoods or more expensive neighborhoods, okay? Because she knows what she's looking for. And she's like, oh, I would go on like a Monday night. It's the guy that needs groceries for the week, but he didn't go Sunday because he's like, ah, it's crowded, blah, blah, blah. But she was like, Monday night, Tuesday night, she said, hand to God, Erica, it's all men doing their night little shopping. She's like, I'll look a little cute. And she would just walk the aisles with the basket, and she's like, I would get some stuff. But she would find whatever they were looking for. She would pretend like she wanted whatever that thing was too, and just ask them questions about what they were getting. And sometimes, I'm not saying to do this, but sometimes she would almost neg them a little bit about their choices. She'd be like, oh, you like that ice cream? And they'd be like, what? It was good. And she'd be like, no, this one's way better. You gotta try this one. And stuff like that. But again, easy opener. And apparently that's when the men are shopping. The single men, anyway. The single men.
Yeah.
The dads are getting sent on the Sunday and Saturday by the wives. So the single men are doing Monday night, Tuesday night, according to her. And she has met a handful of guys that way. So you can take that home with you. So here's an interesting thing about creatures of habit, right? Mm-hmm. So this comes with, like, if there are things you like it, and I've actually told this to Ben, where, you know, a lot of workout classes are women. So I'll be like, go to a workout class. Like, it's women. And they're like, well, I don't want to be the creep in the class. And I'm like, well, the key is pick a day and a time, or pick an instructor that you also like. People are creatures of habit. Like, there's other people, like, I love this instructor, I always go to their class, or I always go Tuesday, 6 p.m. I said, go consistently. Because when you show up somewhere consistently, you become familiar with the faces that are around. And now there's almost that kind of false sense of friendship.
Oh, yeah, you're not the creep anymore.
No. And I also tell the men, I'm like, make friends with, like, the moms in the class. Like, when you hear people chatting, blah, blah, blah. I was like, the moms in the class or the women that are married are going to be the women like, that nice guy from the workout class. You should, you know, have you met so-and-so? Like, blah, blah, blah. Or they're the ones that have single friends that they set you up with. But I feel like this also goes for women, whatever the thing is. And sometimes I feel like it's good to do the creature of habit side, but then it's also good to switch it up. So, like, Meetup has many events, right? If you like board games, there's board game stuff. There's, you know, Dungeons and Dragons, things like that, where it's like, look, it's predominantly men, all right? So if you're not a sports girl, or even if you're not a Dungeons and Dragons girl, but you're just like, well, there's going to be men there, you could go to a Dungeons and Dragons meetup, but then go to one on like a different day or run by a different group, and it's going to be like a whole new pool of people.
Yeah, somebody wrote in and mentioned that she had been going to something consistently for a long time and then decided to switch up the night she went and then met her partner.
Exactly. So it's like there's safety in the, you know, repetitiveness, But also it's the kind of the question, like, well, if you keep doing the same thing or the same trivia night, like whatever the thing is, and you're like, man, I keep joining the sports league. I keep joining this trivia thing and I don't meet people. Like, I never met a guy. It's like, all right, try a different one. Just like move a little to the left on that one. And it's going to be a whole new group of people.
Yeah, that brings me to a couple people asked about like finding singles events to go to or just events in general. So meetup is a great one for finding like some hobby that you want to do, or, you know, a general like bunch of people that want to go to a museum together, or they want to, you know, book clubs are there or different sports or whatever it is. Also, though, for singles events, literally Google singles events, my city.
Yeah.
And
dating events, singles events.
Yeah. Singles events, dating events.
Another one.
Eventbrite is a great place to search. Speed dating, my city. Singles mixer, my city. Singles event, my city. Like Google all of these different combinations of those things. Assuming that you live in a decently sized city, doesn't even have to be New York sized, you will get many options. Then you're just going to have to kind of trial and error on which ones of these are going to be good and which ones are maybe not to return to.
Yeah, and I like Matchmaker Maria's advice on this too, about like also just do regular events.
Oh, totally.
Things that interest you or whatever, because, you know, like we said, if we ever threw a singles mixer, it'd be very easy to get women. It's always harder to get men. So you kind of got to play the game like, is it because it's called a singles mixer that maybe men are more hesitant to join? You know, but someone wrote about like a bookstore. And if you see people in the bookstore, like asking them a question like, hey, do you know where this section is? Or do you know where the bathroom is always a great general question. You could like open with anybody where you're like, hey, have you been here before? Do you know where this is? Very easy.
And then maybe on your way back, you can kind of pick things up. Because once you ask where the bathroom is, you probably should go.
Maybe. I mean, you could stall a little bit. You know, you can stall a little bit.
Be like, hey, unless thanks. It's a Barnes and Noble. I found like, it super easily.
Yeah. I'm like, unless it's Barnes and Noble, I feel like people run into Barnes and Noble. Like, I know there's a free bathroom here. I have an emergency.
Yeah. The men at singles events thing can be tricky. A couple people mentioned that in the submissions of like, how do I know that there's going to be men there? You don't. I've been to ones where there really aren't. I still think it was worth going because I think it's practice. It like continues to get me out there, the whole manifesting thing. I've also met some girlfriends at those events. But even I think just something to kind of like keep in mind, it sucks. But like even a company that had a really great ratio one time might not the next time because it's just a matter. It's just luck of who shows up truly.
A little bit. It is. But that's why I like regular events. Like I was texting you from I went to my friend's like one woman show last night.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I really didn't think it was going to pull men. Typically, female comics have more of a female following, right?
Right.
But I went. I was like, you know, put a little makeup on. I went by myself like, all right, I'll go check out this show. And, you know, I figured she'd be hanging somewhere after so I could catch up with her. And I arrive and I'm like, there's a good amount of men here. Like, I was a little surprised. Like, oh, wow, there's a lot of men here. And turns out it's mostly men that, like, know her through some medium, whether it's comedy or something else. So then after I go to the hang and it's like, oh, it was so easy to approach and talk to people because I would just say, hey, I'd be like, were you at the show was my first question. Were you at, Chloe's show is her name.
Yeah.
And they'd be like, oh, yeah. And I'd say, oh, how do you know her? Blah, blah, blah. Like I talk to everybody in the bar so easily. And it's like, oh, because we had a thing to talk about. We all just saw the same show and we somehow know this person. So whether it was just someone that was a fan of hers through comedy or they were like, oh, I'm from her, you know, hometown in Minnesota, and I just moved to LA. I was like, oh, shit, okay. Like, you know, easy. So that's why I'm like, events really are pretty key, I think, you know?
I like events like that that have a hang afterwards that aren't just the event. So, like, I went to a theater opening that had, like, a mix and mingle kind of panel afterwards. And that was cool because similarly, we all had watched the same show, the same theater show, and then we were all hanging out. And so we'd be like, oh, what was your favorite part? Or what character did you like the most? Or like whatever the question is.
Yeah. Or events that have like free food or something, like there's a free incentive attached that can easily cause mingling. Where it's like, oh, some hors d'oeuvres before the show. It's like, get there early. Go get those hors d'oeuvres. Chat around. Have you tried the quiche? You got to get it. You know?
You got to get that quiche.
Got to get that quiche, man. It's easy.
Something that I did years ago. So I actually hired a dating coach literally 10 years ago.
Oh, wow.
And it was more about meeting people in person, putting yourself in the right mindset to meet someone, like all of those kinds of things. And one of the things she had me do was sign up for tech conference listservs and go to tech conference events to try to meet men.
Yeah, that makes sense. I'm like multiple conferences, you know?
Yeah.
Why not? I think another thing in terms of conferences, because like a lot of times, like the tech company I just worked at, you know, they buy a handful of passes and it's all for their like salespeople or whatever. So they ship, you know, a group of seven or six to go out there, try to network, make sales, whatever. But then there's also charity events that a lot of big companies will just buy a table for and then extend to their employees to go. So that's another thing you could go to that has, usually there's some form of entertainment, there's, yeah, there's food, there's dancing, there's whatever. There's plenty of things you could find to kind of talk and mingle, you know, what table you at, blah, blah, blah. But that's also a great thing that you could be doing a great cause and go and meet people and potentially people to date as well.
Yeah, true. Question for you.
Oh, go for it.
When you've opened a conversation. If somebody approaches you, I think this is probably a safe assumption. But let's say you are the approacher. You've approached someone, they are open to talking, and now you're chatting. How have you handled in the past trends, like either figuring out if they're single or transitioning to some sort of like number exchange? Like how have you handled that transition in the past?
Okay, here's a real easy move. While you're talking, if they mention something interesting, like somewhere they went, something they did, especially if you're new to an area, this is very easy to do about like, oh, what do you like to do around town, blah, blah, blah. They might mention something or a band or a place. Get them to like type it into your phone or something, or this is a great move, have them like look it up on their phone and then say like, oh, can you send me that? And then that moves to, like, if it's on Instagram, sharing on Instagram through message, they look up their Instagram, follow you to send it, or your phone number. I think that's a very easy move. It's just to be like, oh my God, can you send that to me? And then it's like, yeah, what's your number? And it makes it a little less invasive and casual.
I love that. And then I guess figure out later if they're single.
Yeah. Well, that happened to me last night, that there were a couple guys I was talking to, and it was, I assumed all of them were from Minnesota because that's what, you know, two out of three said. Then turns out the third guy was just a guy that met them at the show.
Oh,
he's like, I just met them in line. You know, I knew Chloe through blah, blah, blah. And both these guys were very cute. One had a ring. So I was like, oh, he's married. So we all were kind of in this friend space. And then I was going to mingle with another group. So before I left, I was like, you guys are really fun. You know, let's maybe hang out again sometime. Like, what's your Instagram is what I said, just because it's more casual. And also I had my new little Instagram, so I was very excited to be like, what's your Instagram? I got my new one.
I'm ready. Put me coach.
You know, so that we all just follow each other on Instagram. So it's like, okay, we have a point of contact. I know your name. Yeah. You know my name. Here's a way we can message. It is on the more casual side. But I think there's nothing wrong with even getting people's number and just being like, hey, you guys seem fun. Like, I'm always looking for people to do stuff with. You know, do you mind if I get your number? It's not hard, guys. It's not that hard. It's very flattering, you know.
I think it is hard. I think it doesn't mean we can't do it. We can do hard things, but I do think for me it's hard to approach people, to like overcome the embarrassment of it. I'm working on it. I'm getting better at it, but I do think it's hard. So I want to acknowledge that like for some people it does feel hard. We can do hard things. Like you got this, everybody. But like, I think it can be. I think it can be hard.
Okay. So how about this? If you are nervous to do the phone number move and you feel like you're talking and then it ends, you move on, you're talking to other people or whatever. Do it on your exit then. That feels very low risk.
I like that. Because you're leaving anyway.
It's very low risk for a rejection of any form. So even if just to start approaching people, it's like, you know, you have your drink, your tab's closed. You guys are going to move to the next bar after you finish the drink. It's like, okay, do it now. Go approach, talk to someone now. Because if there is a rejection and you're like, I want to get the fuck out of here.
You're out.
You were gonna get out of there anyway. So perfect timing.
Yeah. Because then you don't have to do the like, well, I guess I'll go then.
Right. Yeah. And it's, you know, if people are dicks, it's like that's them being a dick. It has nothing to do with you.
Yeah.
But there's no problem going back and just being like, hey, It was really great to meet you earlier. I meant to ask if you want to exchange numbers. It's all you got to say.
Yeah.
I was like, so a couple quick things we could do for the opener if you're going to approach somebody or start a conversation. Yeah. All right. We already said this. Ask for advice or an opinion on something. The menu, the venue, where's the bathroom? Whatever type of question that you would literally ask a complete stranger that you weren't even trying to hit on. You got to think in that frame, you know? What would you ask a sweet old lady, you know, who looks like she works there or something?
And side note, a tip, start doing this with people you aren't trying to hit on.
Yes.
Because it will make it easier when you do it for someone you are trying to hit on.
That is actually from the game.
It is.
And they say to do it with bartenders because they're like, that's part of their job. Like,
yeah.
You know, get some wins under your belt. You know, just start some combos. Yeah.
I forgot about that, but you're right. That's in there too. But that's what I did with that bartender the other week that I was talking about after that speed dating event.
Easy.
Low risk, because you're not even trying to hit on them anyway.
Low risk. So asking for help as well. Hold the jacket, napkin, something, or offer help. If you see someone, offer a little help. Another one, easy opener, compliments. Oh my God, I love those shoes. Where'd you get them? Who makes them? Love your jacket.
Everybody
loves
a compliment.
Everybody loves a compliment. Men especially love compliments. Nobody's complimenting those guys. So
I would make it super specific, like the shoes thing. You know, like, oh, I love your shoes. Where'd you get those? Versus like, you look great. Like, be specific.
Yes. Side comment is what I call it. But commenting on, there's a game on, some play happens. Be like, whoa, that's crazy. What player was that? Whatever. Come up with some question about that. Comment on the room. You go, man, wow, this bar is packed. Like, just little side comment that will get you the read of, is this person open to talking?
My favorite with that is to try to make eye contact with someone when something funny happens. Like, typically, if you're in a bar or restaurant where there's a lot of other people going on, at some point, something weird will happen. Or when that does happen and you kind of make eye contact with someone, like, did you see that? And then say that, though. Like, say that thing out loud and establish that connection with this person.
Yeah, that goes into, there's what category called like gather information. Mm. So it's just like, what are things of gathering information? And then at the same time, sharing information. So someone, yeah. You hear a side comment, someone goes, wow, this place is really cool. If you know, like, this place used to be an old bank or something like that, you could be like, oh yeah, isn't it beautiful? It actually used to be an old bank. And it's like, oh wow, isn't that nice? Yeah, basic information. So
you reminded me of a tip in the sharing information. The opposite of asking like, oh, what do you think is good here? If you see someone like perusing the menu or like trying to figure out what to get, you can be like, oh, this thing is really good.
Yeah.
Or if you hear them order, you can be like, amazing choice. I love that.
Yeah. Even if you don't agree. Like,
yes. Yeah. I would not suggest being like, oh, you picked that.
Yeah. Stay in the positive, you know?
Yes.
Or even just lie and be like, oh, I love that. Love a burrata. Love a whatever.
It's fine. Ordering. It's fine.
Yeah. It's fine. It's good. And then you could be like, is it your first time here? And then, oh, no, I live nearby. Blah, blah, blah. There you go.
And now you're talking.
Yes. Okay. And then I guess a few specific to dating events. If you are going to these dating events or mixers, some questions you can ask people?
Yeah, we got some questions about specifically speed dating and singles mixers and like, the nice thing about these events is you don't have to worry about whether this person's looking to date because they're there. So that makes it a hell of a lot easier. The bar is a lot lower for like what's going to happen out of a conversation. My favorite question these days at speed dating, I got from my friend Erica, who she runs the dating account, A Little Nudge. She also does dating coaching. And she gave me this idea. It's been crushing. And that is to ask, what would you be doing tonight if you weren't here?
Great question.
I have been loving it because it's basically like, what do you do for fun? Like, it's the same question.
Yeah. But what's a typical Sunday look like? It's along those lines. So it's like a typical Wednesday for you.
It's a more fun way of asking it. And I feel like it's also a little bit more specific. Like, it's easier to answer. It's been really working for me.
I think in general, the hardest thing about dating events is trying to avoid the questions like, have you been to this before? Have you, you know, have you done this before? Specifically with speed dating, because it's like, oh, I am having 10 of that conversation. And that's
I wouldn't
always
ask
the go-to
that.
Opener with people. Yeah.
I wouldn't ask that. I have asked, how did you hear about this event? Because one, it's just a better way of saying, have you been to these before? But the other thing is sometimes I get ideas for where to look for events.
True. That's true. Or you could talk about, you know, whatever mutual accounts you follow that post different events, post different travel things, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Then I'm like,
where are the men looking?
Yeah. In terms of like a live mixer, I mean, naturally, I'm the type to like try to make a little joke of some sorts and almost call out that we're all having the same conversations. Like I've before been like, hey, how's your small talk going? And they're like, oh, it's going pretty good. And then I'll openly be like, you want to skip the small talk to like a different type of question? And people are pumped for that. They're like, hit me. They're like, give me something. Give me whatever.
That's why I loved literally the event are called Skip the Small Talk. But
right.
That's why I loved their event, because they had those questions that like enabled you to, if you needed to, just grab one of their questions and ask it. And they were like, they were unique. They were specific, and I enjoyed it. So they're in a million cities. So if you haven't tried one of their events, they also have friend ones.
Yes. But I'm like, if you date men, I think a great topic to bring up for men is, what YouTube rabbit hole have you fallen in recently? Okay. Men are constantly watching YouTube clips. All right. Whether you're talking to a man or a 12-year-old boy, it's the same shit. They're just on YouTube watching everything. Or TikTok. You can throw it out there like, what's your TikTok algorithm lately? What do you get?
Yeah, what's it serving you? What's it serving you?
I'm currently in college dance competition TikTok, and I am here for it.
You're still on that?
It just pops up every once in a while. It's great. But it's a whole world I didn't know about, and I was like, wow, these teams are legit. And I like music, and I just, it's entertaining as hell. I'm into it. I'm sometimes getting high school dance team once, all right? It's just
that is so my algorithm. Funny.
Right? But it's like, that's one that's part of my algorithm that's like, oh, I'm not embarrassed to share that, where I'm like, yo, I somehow came across dance team competition, you know?
And I am in.
Right? So I feel like something with a YouTube question, who's your favorite YouTuber, whatever, something like that. What's your favorite Instagram follow lately? Something like that. But YouTube, I feel like, is safe, because if people aren't very into social media, specifically men, they are still into YouTube. They are into that shit. That, or movies. Anytime I've had a movie prompt on my profile, tons of responses where I'm like, what's a movie you've seen recently that I should watch?
Oh, I love that.
Something like that. And then you know, it's also an easy thing to talk about. It's like, yeah, it's not really about themselves, but it gets people talking and it gets people excited too.
Yeah, I like it. Random speed dating tip that has nothing to do with asking questions. Be really fast about writing down your stuff in between people, because it is annoying when most of the speed dating events, the men are the ones who move that I've been to. But when I've been the one that moves, it's annoying when the other person is still writing, or like then you have to like try to cover what you wrote. Yeah. Be fast, be decisive, write a couple things to remind yourself of the person and like move along, because the next person's coming in. So just know that that's going to happen.
Yeah. Bullet points. Just need a few details.
You know, yes. Something to remind you of them, and like a quick yes or no or a maybe. Oh, I feel like we've generated a lot of tips today.
I know, there's a lot. So thank you to people also who submitted. It was very helpful for this episode.
Yes. And if you have more, shoot us a DM, a comment, talk in the Discord if you're on the Patreon. Let us know if we missed anything that you think is a good idea.
Yes. So thank you guys for listening, as always. And we'll talk to you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Welcome to another round of Boardroom or Miroboard. Today we talk retrospectives with Agile coach Maria. Let's go. First question. You've spent 2 hours in a team retro, but the only input you've heard is Dave's. Boardroom or Miroboard?
Boardroom. In Miro, Dave can't hog the space because everyone can add thoughts anonymously, online, at the same time.
Correct. Next. You need the team to act on feedback fast, so you turn all those retro notes into Jira tasks instantly.
Miro all the way. And I can assign those tasks to teammates.
You're nailing this. Now, you see hundreds of sticky notes from the retro. A real mess. But you organize them into 5 themes in just seconds.
Miro, I basically get back an entire hour when I use its AI tools for clustering.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people running actually enjoyable and actionable retros in Miro. Get your first 3 boards free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.